Good morning, countryside! It is a beautiful thing to be together in this beautiful place that God has given us to celebrate His amazing love for us. And I'm delighted that you are here this morning. Again, my name is Jim Hollister. It is my honor to serve with you in the name of Jesus here at Countryside. And if you are our guest this morning, we are especially delighted that you have joined us, and we welcome you to our time of worship in the name of Jesus. I invite you to join me as we turn again to the scripture this morning. We turn now to, again, the Gospel of Matthew. Now we are in chapter 21, and we'll read verses 23 to 32. If it helps you to follow along, would invite you to turn in your Bibles now, or if you find that following along distracts you, would invite you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. From Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 23. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching, and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later, he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, here we are again, your people, gathered together across space, across even time. We are gathered because we need to hear a word from you. And so we ask again, Holy Spirit, please pour yourself out on us. Please take the words of the scripture which we have heard, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them. Breathe life into them. Make them come alive for us, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we pick up in the gospel this morning, and Jesus is in the temple. And he's in the temple between Sunday and Thursday evening of Holy Week. Now, for all of you who wondered why we sang the first hymn that we sang, It's the reminder that this text happens in the middle of what we always think of as Holy Week. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be spending time with the Gospel of Matthew about the things that Jesus said and did and taught in that space between Sunday and Thursday. That part of Holy Week that we very seldom get a chance to hear about or think about. Because I think there's something significant not only about what Jesus says, but there's something important about when Jesus says it. So here we are, we're on Monday. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. He's been given a parade. The people have put down their cloaks with Palm Sunday, right? That's what we're talking about. And Jesus went right into the temple, and the first thing he did was he threw out all the money changers. He turned the tables. He got out a whip. He drove people out and said, "My Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." And then Jesus began to heal, to bring hope to people who were broken, to restore them body, mind, and soul. And the chief priests and the chief priests and the elders of the people come to Jesus and they have a run-in. And Jesus goes out of the city for the evening. And when he comes back in, he comes back to the temple and he starts to teach. Now, we should probably picture this as analogous to Jesus is in the Sunday school classroom. Right? He's not in the main sanctuary. He's not in the place where the sacrifices are made. He's not in that great part of the temple. He's off on the side, maybe in a portico, maybe in a back room, and he's teaching. And in sweep, the chief priests and the elders of the people, and they want to know two things. By what authority do you do these things, and who gave that to you? What makes you think you can come in here and just act like that? And who told you you could do that? Now, the interesting thing about this is that if we just stop there for a second, it reminds us something really important about authority. A couple of observations here. One is that all authority has boundaries. Right? If you have authority, there are things that you can do, but you can't do everything. There are things you're allowed to do. There's some things you're responsible to do if you are in authority, but you can't do just anything. Another observation is that authority always comes from someone. Authority always comes from someone. When officers start, they get hired, but they don't have any authority until they get sworn in. Politicians in our system particularly, their authority comes from the fact that they have been elected. And in various and sundry ways, folk only have authority because we grant it to them. So I'm the pastor here. I have authority to do some things, to preach, to teach, to celebrate the sacraments. But I only have that because in a fundamental way, you grant that to me. Sure, the bishop ordained me, and a different bishop assigned me with the cabinet and the district superintendents. They assigned me to come here. And certainly it's because of the Board of Ordained Ministry and the local church recommended me for ministry, that they recognized that God was calling me, whether I wanted to or not, that's another conversation, that God was calling me to this work. Right, and all of that goes into it, but there's a fundamental part of this, which means I have this authority because you grant it to me. Because you have bought in as well to this system where preachers come and preachers go, but the churches stay. Because you believe that God can even move through the cabinet. And you're willing to give me the benefit of the doubt that I both deserve and can fulfill this authority that you grant to me. Now, obviously, I have to continue to earn that. But this text reminds us that authority always comes from someone. And here's the other observation that I would make, that we get into these questions of authority. Where are the boundaries of that authority? Who gave you that authority? We get into those conversations when we feel like either the boundaries have been crossed or that the ones in authority no longer respect, no longer care for, no longer are accountable to those who have given them the authority. So this is how Jesus and the chief priests and the elders of the people get into some games in this text. Right? One of the games they get into is Jeopardy. You remember that one? That's the one where all of the answers come in the form of a question. A Jeopardy fan. Right, but they play another game here. They play a game of truth or dare. You remember that one, right? Generally, it's teenagers play this one, where we sit around and you look at each other and you go, truth or dare? And you have to pick one. And then somebody asks you a question and you either have to tell the truth or do the thing. Now the thing about it is usually that the thing is pretty embarrassing. But you have to pick, which do you think is going to be worse? To tell the truth or to do the dare? Jesus says to the scribes, says to the chief priests, says to the elders of the people, I will answer your questions. How dare I come and do this? Who told me I could do this? I'll answer those questions if you answer my question first. When John came, did he come because God sent him, or was it human agency? Was John sent by God, or was he just making his stuff up as he went? Doing what he thought was best. Jesus faces them with a question. Are you going to tell me the truth? Or are you going to do the dare? And what we see in the conversations that the chief priests and the elders have with one another that get recorded for us here in Matthew is that they are much more concerned with messaging than the truth. Right? In their conversation, which generally we're not privy to, right? We don't usually get to sit in on these kinds of questions, on these kinds of conversations. They say, look, if we say that he came from John, then we're going to set ourselves up for how come you didn't believe him. But if we say that it was human agency, that he just did his own thing, that he wasn't from God, then people are going to get all kind of upset. Because the crowd thinks that John was a prophet. Part of what that reveals is who the chief priests and the elders believed their authority came from. Because the thing that they were most worried about was making sure that things didn't get out of hand and the Romans didn't get upset. They acted on their belief that their authority came not from God. Their authority came not from the people, from their tradition, from their history, but came instead from the Romans. Because historically, that's what happened. It was the Romans who set them up. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that they reacted in that way, because they were remembering who had given them their authority. We think of spin doctors as a recent thing, but apparently it goes back at least as far as the New Testament. And so, having had their conversation, they made their choice not to take the truth, but to take the dare. We don't know. We don't have any idea. And you can't make me say anything else. Jesus says, no worries. You won't tell the truth. I won't tell you the answers to your questions. There's a part of this that's really disturbing because this is the Jesus of the miracles. This is the Jesus of compassion. This is the Jesus of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Jesus of you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. You are the salt of the earth. It's this same Jesus who looks at these elders and the chief priests and says to them, fine. You pick the dare, that's fantastic. But I'm not going to answer your question. This is the same Jesus who calls out the chief priests and the elders in the next three parables that he tells. One that we read this morning, and two that we'll read in the weeks that follow. And what Jesus reminds us here, what the chief priests and the elders demonstrate, is that one rarely gets the truth when the truth is not the thing you care about the most. We rarely get the truth when the truth isn't the thing that we care most about. They chose the dare. They didn't choose the truth. So Jesus didn't give them the truth. It was there for them. But as the parable ends, that the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners, the drug dealers, they're all going to get into the kingdom of heaven ahead of you, because even when you saw it, you didn't change your mind. Now, a good sermon is supposed to end with, now what? Supposed to end with, here's the thing that you can do to take all of this truth that the gospel gives to us, to take all of this biblical knowledge that's been laid out for us, all of these things that the Holy Spirit has stirred up in us, that you're supposed to take. Now, here's a way that you can take all of that and make it real in your life. But I got to confess, I'm really struggling with that this morning. Because on the one hand, we look at Jesus' example, and it would be right for us to say, so the moral of the story is that we need to call out those who have authority over us, who have authority that we've granted to them, who do not answer to us anymore. We'd be right to go there. We would be following in Jesus' footsteps to go there. But the thing in the back of my head that knows my heart, that knows the struggles that I have, whispers, and doesn't that let you off the hook entirely? I I mean, do we need to call out those who have exceeded their authority, those who no longer answer to the people who have granted them that authority? Don't we need to call them out? Well, yes, but that can't be all that we do. Because at that point, then it becomes all their fault. And I'm not sure that there's a lot of room in the scripture. I'm not sure there's a lot of room in the good news of Jesus for it's all somebody else's fault. Because in the end, this is my relationship with God in Jesus Christ. This is my relationship with all of the people that God has put into my life. And I have to have some responsibility for that. So yeah, do we need to call out authority? As Jesus called out authority. Authority that's exceeded its boundaries. Authority that has turned its back on those who have given them authority. Yeah, we need to do that. But we also need to check ourselves to make sure that we're not also playing truth or dare. That we are also not choosing our truth as the things that are more comfortable. Blaise Pascal famously said, "Most people invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive." I reflect that. And I imagine that you all do too. And so if we're really going to seek the truth, we need to seek the truth that is comfortable, that is powerful, that we have known. And we need to seek the truth that's uncomfortable, that we don't like, but that is still true. That's what we need to do. It is not easy. It's not simple. And it's something that we need to do together. But it's the way, I think, that keeps us both from not taking authority seriously, and not playing truth or dare, where we decide whether we want to do the truth or something else, because the truth is just too hard. Because Jesus has the truth. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he promised us that if we knock, the door will be opened. If we seek, we will find. So let's knock. Let's seek. Let's be determined to chase the truth. The truth that I like and the truth that I don't. Because that's when we find the real truth. grace to you and peace. Amen. Go bravely and boldly into this world of confusion and pain. Bring God's healing words of love and forgiveness. Know the power of mercy and grace in your life, and use those wonderful gifts to serve God by serving everyone around you. Go in peace and grace. Amen.